All right, it's time to look through the window at baseball with our good friend from the San Francisco Chronicle, Bruce Jenkins. Brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, with a new showroom down in Monterey. And Bruce, I think you're the only guy who works as hard as I do, really.
Hey, Bruce.
Well, I don't know about that. I try to stay current. I'm on the internet all morning and just trying to keep up with what's going on in many sports.
Well, good. Hey, first let's talk Giants baseball. I mean, I thought there was an amazing transition yesterday as this season is starting to take shape. Of the crowd with Hunter Pence and Michael Morse, and sort of the nature of this ball club is big hits when it counts. Every hit seems to score runs, but the fans now, for the first time, I think, all season, have bonded with Morse and Pence in a very positive way.
Yeah, it's a great thing to see. I mean, but, you know, those guys, they're so expressive. Just to watch them in the on-deck circle is a treat, you know, especially Pence. They've got unique styles. They don't take themselves seriously at all. They're great in the clubhouse, and you can just their personality and just the way they, the style of the way they play the game just comes shining through on the field, and it's just a treat. The team itself is very entertaining. I think there's a whole bunch of guys that you don't want to go to take a leak or get a hot dog when these guys are hitting, because it's a great show.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because I brought that up on the show last night, because Gary Radnich, that's his barometer whether someone's an A-lister. You know, if you're not going to leave to go to the bathroom or have a sandwich, that's the guy who's the big star. And I'll tell you, on this team, I kind of said, excuse me, I sort of said Pence and Morse.
Okay.
They come up, I want to see those at-bats.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to miss anybody, including Crawford, Hicks, Posey. I don't do any of this until the other team's hitting.
All right. Well, you're very controlled. I see that. I'm very proud of you at this age.
Barring an emergency.
At this age, you can control that. That's very good, Bruce. I'm very proud of you.
Flomax works, Marty. Joe Theismann will tell you. Trust me.
Well, you know, it's Giants-Dodgers, Bruce, and I know Colorado's. They struggle a little bit on the road. I think Atlanta exposed that this weekend a little bit.
Yeah.
But, Bruce, I look at Beckett with the no-hitter yesterday and Kershaw and Greinke and Herron and Ryu and, you know, and just that Puig and the rest of them. I tell you, Bruce, I said it earlier in the season, this is another summer of Giants-Dodgers. I just feel it.
Yeah, it's looked that way from the beginning, and every week, the storyline changes a little bit. Right now, it's all about the Dodgers pitching. They do really have a lot of problems. They've actually moved Matt Kemp to left field. His defense is so bad, which has got to be a big-time embarrassment for him. He's not playing every day. Hanley Ramirez has a couple of injuries that are keeping him out there, worried about him. They've brought up a shortstop, from a Cuban kid who's just now making his debut, who doesn't really hit but can really field. Uribe's out. Lots of issues going on there, and of course Puig is sort of the beacon of stability now, which is you never thought would see coming, but they're not going away is the bottom line, and they're going to pitch, and therefore they're going to be right in the race, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I hope it goes right down to tied with the same record going into the last game of the season.
So somebody sent me a note, and I'll just jump in with this very quickly. This September, the Giants and Dodgers will play their 1,000th game against each other on the West Coast, which I didn't realize. So who knows where it's going to be in September, and that could be an interesting event.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no way of telling what's going to happen. I mean, we might see this kid, Jock Peterson from Palo Alto, is a tremendous prospect for the Dodgers. He might be up by then, and I'm sure Brian Sabian will do something at the deadline to fine-tune the team. I tell you one thing about the Giants that's interesting to me and that's probably comforting to the fans, that they have the best record in baseball, and nobody's really having an out-of-body experience of a season. I mean, nobody's having a career year. Morse is on his way, but for him to hit for power is certainly nothing unusual. Nobody's tearing it up to the extent like, wow, well, this guy's going to cool off and we're not going to see that. If anything, with Posey and Sandoval not quite up to par yet, there's a lot of potential to get better. So I think that's pretty encouraging.
One quick thing, Bruce, on the Dodger no-hitter Josh Beckett yesterday. I don't know who to compare that to. I think that's the 11th in Dodger history, right, or something like that. But David Cone late in his career, or I'm not even sure.
No, Warren Spahn.
Warren Spahn. David Wells late in his career. At any rate, this is a pretty decorated pitcher, so make no mistake about that. But what caught my attention is that Josh Beckett spit all over the no jinx no-hitter rule. In the fourth inning, he was in there talking to Mattingly in the dugout. He was chirping to his teammates about it. And I don't believe in voodoo or the no-hit jinx rule, and I want to get your thoughts on that, Bruce Jenkins.
Well, I've never believed in the jinx. Growing up with Vince Scully, if Koufax had a no-hitter going and he threw four of them,
right.
You were well aware of it.
Okay.
I mean, and when Koufax had the perfect game, I was at that game, and you could hear Vince Scully through the transistor radios telling people to, if you just tuned in, this is what's going on out here. So that's, I've never believed. I mean, to think that one person can jinx a no-hitter is kind of crazy, but. I've always understood the fact that if a pitcher is sort of lost in his own world and he's sitting in the dugout by himself, you see that all the time. But I thought it was kind of refreshing for Beckett to be right up front about it. I mean, this is a great moment for him.
Sure.
He's always been known as this sort of gruff, hard to get along with guy, kind of bitter. And he was like a little kid, It was a great career revival for him, and he enjoyed the heck out of it.
I love the rivalry. I just love it, and I'm looking forward to a big summer of it. And the more wins now, Bruce, and I said this for the last few weeks, it's like money in the bank. And, five ahead of the other teams, you put together another couple of weeks if the other teams stumble a little bit, all of a sudden, you get a little bit of space. It's pretty good. I like that part of baseball.
Yeah, and they really should pick up three right here with the Cubs in town. Samardzija is a heck of a pitcher. Maybe it looks like a bit of a mismatch on the mound today, but... They really ought to sweep this series the way they're going. Everything's going their way. The Cubs are so downtrodden. They've got Manny Ramirez in their system now. So then we'll see what happens on the road in St. Louis and Cincinnati. But another great thing about the Giants, though, is that they're a power hitting team again. This is their tradition for years and years. It came to an abrupt halt after Bonds left, but they're back now. Are they leading the league in home runs? Or?
They're third in baseball.
Third in baseball.
I guess Colorado's still ahead of them.
Sure.
I think Toronto's ahead of them.
Hey, up and down the lineup, they're just jacking the ball out of the park. So when they go into these smaller ballparks on the road, they can do a lot of damage. And that's one of the greatest things about this season. I don't think they'll probably finish in the top three, but I don't see it going away entirely either.
Boy, amazing. And they're third in earned run average now, 3.06,
wow.
So that's even more important.
Very good combination, those two things.
Hey, Bruce, summarize Memorial Day baseball. We kind of talked a lot about it today. Well, what does it mean to you just as a man in the world? And baseball, Memorial Day always used to be doubleheaders. It also used to be the day you say, hey, how are we doing so far? Because the season... it'd be about the six-week mark. So tell us a little bit about Memorial Day with you.
Well, yeah, I remember a lot of doubleheaders growing up, daytime doubleheaders. None of this day-night stuff where you paid separate tickets, separate prices, And but as somebody who's always looked into the history of the game, I've always sort of taken the time to look at some of the guys who served in World War II And it was such a different time. I was at Berkeley in the 60s and did not go to Vietnam and didn't know a lot of guys who came back, either didn't come back or came back not the same guy they were. But, World War II, a whole different story. I mean, you're talking about, Yogi Berra at the invasion of Normandy, Gil Hodges at Okinawa, Ted Williams flying all those missions, Jerry Coleman, Stan Musial, Warren Spahn was in the Battle of the Bulge. And you read about these guys, it's just, my God, They come back to baseball in a frame of mind that nobody can really relate to, and just heroic stuff, and gave up the prime of their lives for 3, 4, 5 years, and that's always kind of what came to mind for me, because it's a great part of the game's history.
Yeah,
well, beautifully said.
Yeah,
Bruce.
And as I said, baseball connects to all these things, and we celebrate. It's a big barbecue today and all that stuff, everyone
sure.
Laughing at the ballpark, but you have to understand that both sides of the story, and you get to be here and laugh about it, but there was a sacrifice of many people, and you said it well, Bruce,
yep.
Whose lives were changed and came back, not, they didn't come back in a coffin, they came back with injuries that changed their lives forever, and you can never lose sight of that.
Yeah, and so many of them came back as better men in every respect, They weren't. They didn't look, haunted or you know, they'd be a week in the season where they just kind of weren't there, you know, mentally. They, yeah. These guys came back and they go, "This is a cakewalk. This is going to be the best. I feel like a little kid again."
That was the golden age of baseball.
Yeah.
1946 to 1956.
Can you imagine
it all
if
came
Mike
back.
Trout got drafted into the service today and got sent to a combat zone? How? I mean, it seems almost like it's unfathomable.
Well, Willie Mays, Don Newcomb, and we're going to have a little few minutes with Jerry Coleman today.
Yeah.
And,
Perfect example.
So it's good. Hey, Bruce, always a pleasure. How is your Memorial Day? What do you have on tap?
We're going to have a little family barbecue here this afternoon. My daughter's playing volleyball in San Mateo, but she'll be back before dark. And
nice.
You know, nothing better. We'll save the Giants on tape, and we'll have that going, and all good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Hey, Bruce, thanks as always, and enjoy the day. Always appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Bruce.
Always. Thanks, guys.